It's time for Operation Freedom with your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham Talk 1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at Wham Talk 1600. Again, this show will be up in podcast form for you at davejanda.com by tomorrow morning, Monday morning. And that's where you come in, download the show, network this information to anyone and everyone you have. Folks, I am very honored to have back with me someone who, every time he comes on, we get a tremendous amount of very positive feedback. And we also have some folks that say, I don't know, I need more information on what he's talking about. Dane Whittington has a background in solar energy. He is a former employee of the Bechtel Power Corp and has a background in renewable energy. Dane's personal residence was featured in a cover article in the world's largest renewable energy magazine, Home Power. He also owns a large wildlife preserve next to Lake Shasta in Northern California. Dane put all of his focus, efforts, and energy on the geoengineering issue when he began to lose very significant amounts of solar uptake due to the ever-increasing solar obscuration caused from jet aircraft spraying in the skies above his forest home. He also noted significant decline in forest health was occurring and appeared to be accelerating. Dane instituted extensive testing and research into the geoengineering issue, and which was commenced and has continued over the past 14 years. He is the lead researcher for a great website, information you'll never get in the mainstream media, lamestream media, geoengineeringwatch.org. Dane, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Thank you, Dave. Sure appreciate it. You're making every effort to wake people up to incredibly dire truths that even at this late hour, the majority don't have any idea are occurring.
So, Dane, every week we have a huge presence now on the internet worldwide, gain tens of thousands of new listeners every week. Educate our listeners on the basics. Define geoengineering and what's occurring and how it's adversely affecting every person in the world.
Geoengineering is the intervention of the Earth's climate system on a global scale, and it's not theory, conjecture. It's happening, period. And this involves a great many aspects and components, but I'll try to break this down as quickly and simply as I can. The saturation of the atmosphere with electrically conductive light-scattering particulates. We know two primary elements are aluminum and barium. And these particulates are then manipulated with radio frequency transmissions. There's large ground-based transmitters like HARP, which many people have heard about in Alaska. But there's dozens of these large ground-based facilities around the globe, and there's also NEXRAD radar. We know that in urban areas across the country and across the globe, very powerful transmitters are set up and are part of the weather manipulation grid. And we can see this show up on precipitation maps, so we know they're being used. And Dave, for the record, you know, many of the what people assume are simply cell phone transmitters, we know that those facilities are piped with 10 times more power than they need for cell phone repeating. We can see their effect on precipitation radars. So the amount of radio frequencies we're being exposed to is unimaginably immense, much greater than what people fear from even the cell phones alone. So not only are we inhaling these particulates, because obviously everything that's sprayed in our skies comes down to the ground, we're also being exposed to the radio frequency transmitters. And one important bit of late-breaking data for those listeners who still want to believe that this isn't happening because they're not looking at the facts. CIA Director John Brennan at the Council of Foreign Relations just addressed the geoengineering issue, stating everything that we know is already happening, not completely admitting that the programs are already going on, but stating literally verbatim everything that we have outlined for so many years. And we just had a conference in Northern California, with former CIA veteran Kevin Shipp, who wrote a book called The Company of Shadows. He presented at this forum. This happened 2 days ago. And he, in regard to the Brennan statement, which he presented in his presentation, and this is posted right on the CIA.gov site, okay? This is not some fringe website. This is from the government site. And Kevin Shipp stated that the fact that Brennan had to address the geoengineering issue means that it is very likely that the government knows they can't hide this for much longer.
And in fact, I had it confirmed from independent sources that Brennan did speak about geoengineering, and that I think the words I heard from my sources were that he admitted that geoengineering is an established science used, direct quote now that I was told, used to fight global warming, end quote. Is that what you heard?
What he states is that it is not an outright admission of current deployment. It is a statement that we will likely have to do this. He states that these programs are, quote, relatively inexpensive at $10 billion per year. Now, first of all, anything they publicize for an expense is meaningless because we know they can print and spend whatever they want. But next, what's relatively inexpensive about unimaginable amounts of toxic particulates raining down on the surface that all of us have to inhale, which is completely thwarting the health of the entire biosphere, and us included? And it's literally toxifying the whole planet, shredding the ozone layer, disrupting the hydrological cycle. How many environmental catastrophes do we have right now? How can you call that inexpensive? And so this is the typical approach we would expect from such a government agency, but after watching the Brennan, it's only 90 seconds long. I would encourage any of your listeners, just search John Brennan, geoengineering, and watch it, connect the dots, and tell me that this isn't happening.
And what type of harm do the barium salts, the aluminum salts, have on our environment and on people, Dane?
These components, because they're in such small form, we're talking about nanoparticulates, which means they're bioavailable to all life forms. They're being uptaken in everything. So let's look at some actual statistics we have. We know that most of your listeners probably know the bees are collapsing around the globe. So now I think we've gone over in a previous show, we have peer-reviewed study to prove the bees are packed full of aluminum, because those that try to blame the bee die-off on glyphosate, farm chemicals, the bees are just as dead in the middle of the wilderness, thousands of miles away from the nearest farm. So we have that huge red mark, or red flag, I should say, but now we know that the insect populations are crashing as well. And for any of your listeners, please search what I'm saying, what I'm disseminating. Don't believe me. So in Northern California, we have statistics from a former Forest Service biologist. We've seen a 90% decline in aquatic and terrestrial insect life. 90% is across the board. That's a crash. I would ask, how much longer will we be here if the insects can't survive? And Dave, if for those that haven't noticed, trees are dying all over the globe.
They are.
It's a statistical fact. So we have the bioavailable aluminum affects the root systems, and peer-reviewed study proves that these materials cause the trees to shut down nutrient uptake. They die a slow, protracted death, and the shredded ozone layer, which we can hang completely around the neck of climate engineering. The CFCs was only a red herring. Although CFCs are bad for the ozone layer, mathematically speaking, they are a tiny part of the equation compared to climate engineering, and your listeners can search that. Search geoengineering destroys the ozone layer. So that is frying the trees, having an unbelievably detrimental effect on crops, harvest, insects, and us. So, again, geoengineering is nothing short of an all-out assault against Earth's life support systems, period.
So when I was driving to the station today, Dane, every day I look up in the sky, I think of you. There were five trails in the sky. These are not a type of cloud. These were contrails or, if you will, chemtrails.
Particulate trails.
Particulate trails. So when I look up in the sky and I see these five trails, how do I know that they're not just exhaust from a jet?
First, a person has to start activating their sense of deductive reasoning and ask themselves why there would be grid patterns in one day and nothing the next. And we see that kind of pattern often. So this is, at some point, should occur to people that what's so different from day to day? Are they canceling all the flights on one day and not the next? And beyond this, the bottom line is this, Dave. We have film footage at geoengineeringwatch.org, multiple clips of these trails being turned on and off, some of those clips up close, directly behind the aircraft, nozzles visible, turning on and off. We have up-close photographs of the retrofit nozzles mounted on even commercial carriers on the pylons aimed directly into the exhaust stream to make this appear as if it's, quote, condensation. And the commercial carriers, to clarify, not implying that commercial personnel are involved, not at all. These systems are automated, and the commercial carriers, although those pilots certainly do inspections of their aircraft and absolutely do know. We've heard from pilots that know this is going on. They see these nozzles, but they're told, walk on. walk on, not your business. And they're obviously afraid to speak out. It's a very, very bad career decision. Next, a high-bypass turbofan jet engine. We have a full tutorial with an animation at geoengineeringwatch.org on the homepage. It's a jet-powered fan designed for fuel efficiency. 85% of the air that passes through it is non-combusted. By design, it's nearly incapable of producing any condensation trail except under the most extreme circumstances. So, again, we have the data to back this up and resting on film footage showing the spraying. And if people don't believe what they see with their own eyes, there's not much I can tell them. And the same materials that we know are used in climate engineering patents are showing up in unimaginable quantities in lab tests of precipitation all over the globe. If it's in the rain, it's in the air column, we're all breathing it, every human test subject is packed with these materials, all the diseases we would expect to be associated with these materials are going absolutely off the charts. Here we have Brennan talking about it now. We have every science agency around the globe talking about it, every country around the globe talking about it as the planet descends into total meltdown, with climate engineering making it worse, by the way. And this is what's so important to understand. There's no benevolence in climate engineering, none. Although it's being sold as a benevolent climate mitigation program, we know the effects are beyond cataclysmic. It's making a bad situation far worse, not better. It's the pharmaceutical cure for planet Earth that will extinguish life much faster than all other elements we face if it's not stopped.
So, Dane, every time you come on the show, here are the questions that are sent to me. Why are they doing this, and don't they realize that they're also killing themselves in doing this?
Those are two of the most key fundamental questions. And I ask people to stand back and consider what they already know. If we look at what those in power are doing around the globe, as Earth's resources are waning, as the environment is imploding, what is the military-industrial complex doing? They're pouring everything into the manufacturing of yet more weapons. So the same they that are behind this, and again, what it's being sold as is climate mitigation, a way to block some of the sun's incoming thermal radiation because you're putting light-scattering particles into the sky, and thus to slow down or hide or mask a runaway warming event. Well, those same particles that block incoming thermal radiation also trap that heat. And again, do everything I described earlier, shredding the ozone layer, disrupting the hydrological cycle, which causes the forest to burn down faster, which puts even more CO2 in the atmosphere. All the soot settles down in the ice and melts the ice much faster. So, Dave, again, as a doctor, you can relate to this more than anybody. I mean, who in their right mind would take some of the pharmaceuticals we see when we see one commercial that says, take this for this symptom, and by the way, here's 20 other effects that are far more horrific, and the next commercial is a lawyer saying what you can do and who you can sue if you took last week's pharmaceutical. Same mentality.
Right.
So, and back to the they and why would they do this to themselves, the same people behind this are the same people that have built enough nuclear weapons to extinguish all life on Earth 12,000 times over, mathematically. Same people that have detonated hydrogen bombs in the magnetosphere to see what would happen. Same people that have detonated 2,000 bombs on the planet, which has contaminated everything. Same people that have brought us the BP oil spill and corrects it, and 1,000 other things that are killing themselves along with us. So it's simply that the machine is what it is. It's a cancer. And does a cancer intend to kill its host? I would argue no, but it intends to proliferate at all costs. The host eventually dies.
You know, Parker, you know, Dane, several years ago I was contacted by a very reputable general in the United States Air Force who was involved in flying weather recon, actually was in charge of programs for the Air Force with weather recon. And what he told me, and please tell me if what was relayed to me is false, he told me that when we look up in the sky, we're not seeing jet contrails. We are, in fact, seeing particulate matter chemtrails. He said, quote, there's no doubt about it, Dave, end quote. When I asked him who is behind it, he said, quote, the New World Order group, the same group that you have been talking about for several years, end quote.
Well, I don't think we can argue that. I can't argue that. The same people that print the money run the military, period. And for military personnel that are waking up to this, I mean, certainly, think how shocking it must be for them when they've dedicated their lives to what they thought was fighting for the good of the country, and they realize that that couldn't be further from the truth. The military is being used as a tool for those in power to accomplish their ends, not ours. And the bottom line with climate engineering, again, it's been going on for 70 years. And this is very different. I want your listeners to understand, this is not cloud seeding with Cessnas and flares tied to the wings. Those programs are designed to distract people from what's really going on in the skies. And again, back to the why, and this is an important part of it. It's a psychological operation, in addition to by ionizing the atmosphere, making it more electrically conductive. This is for use with various DARPA weapons, over-the-horizon radar. There are certain components of military activity and weaponry that require an electrically conductive atmosphere. So this is part of the, quote, experiment of which we're all a part. So there's also, though, on the psychological end, and I think we've talked about this before, Dave, but the massive Boston snows that happened that really make people think, how could the planet possibly be warming because look at all this snow? Or when they create snow over the pyramids, and we know they can create snow out of what should have been rain because we have the patents for chemical ice nucleation. China openly announced they were doing this. Any of your listeners can search that. Fox News even covered it. And we have events, and I'm not sure if your listeners might have seen this. We just lost another 30 or 40,000 alpacas in South America from a sudden flash cold snap snowstorm. Now, these are incredibly cold, hardy animals. How can they possibly die when it goes from far above normal temperatures to suddenly a flash cold and then back up? This is a chemically nucleated snowstorm. We have the lab test to prove it for Northern America. So the bottom line is, this is very confusing to people, and they can't figure out, even though it's record heat here and record heat there, but here's this snowstorm where it shouldn't be, and it killed all these alpacas, so therefore it can't be warming, can it? And it creates, again, the division, the confusion, that what's the real state of the climate? All the while, these programs are fueling the overall fire. They're making the planet warmer overall in exchange for these short-term toxic cool-downs. So it's about hiding the problem to the very end, as I've compared the Corexit in the Gulf of Mexico, same mentality. Hide the problem, sink the oil, even though you make the situation 50-plus times more toxic. That's the mentality we're dealing with.
You know, Dane, in college, I had two majors, one in chemistry, one in economics. And someone that was in the chemistry department when I was there listens to this show, Bucknell University in Pennsylvania. Here's what he said. He goes, you know, you have this fellow on, Dane Whittington. He goes, you know, as a scientist and as a chemist, I actually, when I first heard this, I thought, this is off the charts. This just isn't right. He goes, so I did some research into it. And he goes, I actually was intent on exposing how wrong this fella Dane Whittington is. He goes, but the more research I did, I was coming up empty. And this was this past winter, and we had a pretty big snowfall here in Michigan and also in Pennsylvania. I got this email from him one night. He said, so I figured, because he's a chemist, well-known chemist internationally. He goes, so I went out and I figured, well, you know what? If there is really these barium salts and aluminum salts and all this other stuff in the precipitation, then I'm going to be able to... I'm just going to do a little experiment. So he went out and he got a bunch of the snow, right? And he took a match to it. Now, what do you think happened, Dane, when he did that?
Chemically nucleated material tends to sublimate. That means it converts from a solid to a gas and generally bypasses the liquid phase. So it doesn't melt as a naturally nucleated snow would. And we have plenty of video to prove this. And so, just like dry ice, it's same type of material. People in dry ice goes from a solid to a gas, a liquid. So, you know, I'm not sure in his particular case, because in any given region, we can have a great variance of how that chemically nucleated material behaves. But that's...
Well, Dane, it did exactly that. It did not go to a liquid. It went to a gas, and it actually, he said, it smells like... He goes, my wife said, are you burning some plastic somewhere?
This is exactly the reports we've had from all over the globe.
And so I went out. I have a degree in chemistry, right? So I went out, and my wife, where are you going? It's a snowstorm. I go, I'm just going out off the front porch here, and I'm going to get some snow. And she said, what are you doing? I go, I'm going to do a little experiment. She goes, what? I go, I just heard from so-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, who I've known for 30 years, big-time internationally known chemist. This is what's happening in Pennsylvania. I want to see if the same thing happens here. So I take a match to it, Dane, and the same thing happened.
And this is where people, so few people can get their arms around the totality of how much Earth's life support systems are being manipulated. If I could share one thing that is important for your listeners to look at, and I just sent you two links on this, Dave. Our team of attorneys, a little over a week ago, have just filed a 60-day notice of legal action naming 30-plus potential defendants, including governmental agencies. And those notices have been served via certified mail. And there's a 30-plus page legal notice that we have filed with this. All your listeners can look at that. Within hours of the press release of this filing, I received a communication from the president of the National Academy of Sciences, Marcia McNutt. And her original, I'm sure this is her normal marching orders to try to marginalize any such effort. So she sent a rather unprofessional initial message, to which I responded, letting her know that we would publicize her message so the public would be clear about her position as trying to hide these programs from the public. I CC'd all our attorneys, and they mistakenly, my fault, they didn't take her name off of the communication, so when they began to communicate amongst themselves about her message, she saw those messages. By her third message to me, now that she knew that she was the subject of conversation with a team of attorneys that are working on this issue pro bono because they know their future's at stake as well, by her third message, a complete change of direction for Ms. McNutt. And a more or less total change of demeanor, if you will. And I sent you this link as well, and you can forward it to your listeners if you choose. They can see the whole dialogue with Ms. McNutt. And it is very, very telling. Very telling that the moment this agency, top of the National Academy of Sciences, president, the moment she knew that there may be some accountability, that there's actually real legal people working on this, total change of demeanor. Take a look.
And have you heard any more feedback from her?
Yes, because she's being bombarded from a very angry public that is writing some very articulate and detailed messages to her, because that's the way to reach these people. You don't just throw mud. And I think she's probably losing a lot of sleep at this point, and I hope a lot of other people are soon. Agencies have been served in Northern California that we know are hiding the heavy metal contamination, willfully hiding this from the public. Once this dam breaks open, Dave, it's going to be unimaginable.
Needless to say, her first response is she just denies that this is occurring.
That's exactly what it was. And then by the third response, this is within the course of 2 hours, by the third response, knowing that there's a team of attorneys looking, listening, and dialoguing about her, total change of direction. And now we've had, since then, others that have sent in about their Forest Service biologist relatives or other official relatives that know this is going on, that now, you know, it's starting to drag more people out of the shadows as well, who are officials in various agencies that know this is going on, that are starting to talk now too. And if we can provide enough cover for all these academicians to come out of their shadows, it's going to be an absolute stampede.
Dane, I think it's imperative that folks follow your activities and at your website. How can folks follow you and get in contact with you?
Geoengineeringwatch.org. No advertising, no politics. All our data is posted there, and we would be grateful if people will help us to circulate that data, because we're in a literal fight for life.
Dan, I'd like to thank you for everything you do. You truly have opened my eyes to an issue that I was aware, but I wasn't aware of the huge ramifications. And I thank you for everything that you've done and are doing and will do to protect every person, not only in our country, but on planet Earth, from what the globalists have in store.
Folks, same gratitude to you, Dave. Thank you for your voice in this battle.
Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at WAM Talk 1600.